Good morning. Greetings in Christ's name. God, a privilege to be here this morning. Appreciated Brian's thoughts there. So we thought about who is this King of Glory? I trust that it's our desire to continue to lift him up this morning. He is why we're here. Worship and magnify him. Trust we can continue to do that. I too am thankful for the blessing of safety for all of us here in the last 2 weeks. Many miles traveled. It was a blessing to be the places that we were, but it certainly is a blessing to be home again with home people. All right, for a message this morning, I would like to share again on, I guess you'd call it an aspect of the Christian home. It is a subject that I have been pondering and mulling over for some time, probably several months. This aspect, it's a very very practical subject on the home, the Christian home, and I intend to get quite practical with it this morning. Try to keep it in a way that even the children can understand. And I wasn't exactly sure how to title it for a bit. It seemed like as I was studying it and putting my thoughts together that I've been thinking about over the last couple months, I wasn't quite sure how to. It took me a little bit to kind of bring it together and put a title to it. But I've simply entitled it, The Home, Courteous and Respectful. The Home, Courteous and Respectful. It's something that I've been burdened about. And, thought a lot about the needs within my own life. And it's just something that we all face, the needs in our homes. I think we know what courtesy is. Again, I'm going to... I want to keep it very, very practical this morning. When I think of respect, being respectful and courteous, what is courtesy? Courtesy is a polite behavior that shows respect for other people. Now we have the word respect in there again. But in its simplest form, we teach our children some very basic things, and it's very important. They're very basic, but they are very, very important. In its simplest form, we teach them things like saying please and thank you. We teach them to hold the door open for an elderly person, or maybe it is mom when she has her hands full of groceries. And again, we might think that this is common, and yes, we do. We teach these things, and I believe we do. But, I believe these concepts of why we do that, we need to keep focusing on. We need to keep thinking about and passing on to the next generation, because they certainly aren't getting that from the world. They certainly are not. We don't have to look very far at all. Oh, I don't want to get ahead of myself here. Again, just some practical things here. Maybe when we meet someone with a physical handicap, we teach our children not to stare. Again, some very, very basic things. That is all part of being courteous. We try to teach our children to be respectful. And you know what? As I already said, this does not happen automatically or accidentally. Maybe I haven't said that yet, but it doesn't. It's not an automatic thing. It happens this morning with parents who teach it with purpose and are very intentional about it. We must be that today. It was good for me to look again in Scripture and be reminded why we do that, why I do that, why I insist, why we insist on courteous and respectful behavior, why I discipline my children at a very young age when they do not do that, when they are not respectful and courteous. Our children simply will not grow up with this, where this naturally comes out of them. If you pay any attention at all to the world around you, you know that we are living in a world that is becoming increasingly more disrespectful. Parents' wishes are ignored and rejected. You see it in the grocery store. Mom says, no, we're not going to get that. The child throws a fit and, to try to get what they want. School teachers struggle to maintain control in their classroom. Some time ago, police was called into a school to address a third grade child. How old would that be? I'm not quite sure. But they were called into school to address a third grade child. And you know what it said, what they said over the scanner? It came across the scanner, and it said that this child had an obstructive defiance disorder. An obstructive defiance disorder. A third grader. Well, I don't know. Maybe they did. But it's real. It's what we're facing. It's where the world, it's where culture is going. The youth of today are becoming more independent, 16, 17, or even 18-year-olds, or even younger, feel like they're on their own and no one is going to tell them what to do. I will make my own decisions. Disrespectful to parents. And our culture, it seems like they don't know what to do with this. There's disrespect for people of other races and nationalities. Workplace harassment. Businesses are required today to put things in place to address this, to deal with these situations. It is a culture that we're a part of. Disrespect is rampant, and our culture simply does not know how to handle it. It's sad when a policeman has to be called in to school for a third grade defiant child. That's very sad. Or the mob that is out protesting the actions of a police officer. How do you cure that? It's sad because that third grader, things have happened in that young child's life before they ever got to this point. And things have happened that even at third grade become more difficult to reverse. You have that mob that's protesting the police. Again, you have a serious problem that is hard to reverse. Basic concepts of courtesy and respect seem to be absent in our culture. Well, where do these concepts come from? I'd like to look at that this morning. Where do concepts of respect and courtesy come from? If I'm just a highly evolved organism, do I need to respect other highly evolved organisms around me? If I have evolved just slightly further than other organisms, must I respect them? Must I respect you? Why? Who says? Who says I need to listen to authority? Who says I can't rule my own life? Who says I need to care about someone else? Well, the title I chose suggests that courtesy and respect are Christian graces. Anyway, it does. I changed my title around a little bit, and when I got too long, I had the Christian home in there, or Christian graces, or Christian courtesy and respectful, and I took that out because it was kind of long. But the title suggests that that courtesy and respect are Christian graces, and they are. They are that. Imagine if every home and every school in America carefully taught what it says in Luke 6:31. Let's read that verse. Luke chapter 6, verse 31. Should have maybe asked if any of you children knew what that was and could say it by heart. I'm sure you could. But Luke 6, verse 31 says, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." Imagine if every home, every school, every whatever in America carefully taught this. Imagine if that was written on all the walls of our homes, all the homes in our nations, every public school and places of business. Imagine what that would do to the courtesy. Well, the bigger concept that also needs to be taught is that the golden rule must be followed because it is the inspired word of God. It is the inspired word of God. And people need to be respected because they are made in the image of God. That's finally what it comes back to. And I'll say that again. The golden rule must be followed. What we just said here in Luke 6:31 must be followed because it is the inspired word of God. And people must be respected, finally, because they are made. We are all made. People are made in the image of God. And if you keep that in mind, it does something to us. It really does. It helps us keep things in perspective. When you believe that foundational truth, that the people that are sitting beside you here in church and the people that you see in the grocery store and the people that you drive with on the highways, when you believe that they were created, when you remember and believe that all those people were created in the image of God, and therefore they need to be respected, what would that do to our culture? I believe it would make a big difference. So my question this morning is, is your home teaching this? Are you teaching this in your home? Is my home teaching it? That really is my burden as I have come to this subject. As I've pondered this, it feels to me that it is in our homes where the breakdown has been, where it is. Are we teaching it as we should? Do we require it of our children? I believe that it is very important that it is required of our children long before they understand it. Long before they understand it. It should be required. And I want to go on to say that probably the biggest thing is, are we as parents living it and practicing it as we should? That is very important in our homes. Are we as parents living it and practicing it as we should? Is Christian courtesy optional for the people of God? Do I have a choice? Must I teach my children to be respectful? Or is it okay if I'm just a little obnoxious? And that's just the way I am. It's just a disorder that I have that needs to be worked on. Is that okay? You just need to bear it. Let's turn now to some scriptures and see what the Bible has to say. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, I'd like to read verses 8 to 11. And then we'll examine some things in this scripture a bit. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, Be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, and that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Stop reading there. Looking at this scripture, verse 8. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous. In other words, show kindness. Have a caring attitude about what others are going through. Verses 9 and 11. Do good to those who do evil against us. Be one that seeks peace. Ensue it. This morning, if these things are taught in our homes, having compassion, be loving, be pitiful, be courteous. Don't look to get even, railing for railing. Don't just stay away from the bad, but go the other way and actually look to bless. And you also will inherit a blessing. This passage here in 1 Peter is full of everyday Christian conduct woven with examples from Christ that I was just blessed as I pondered these things again. Going back to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, there is an appeal for a holy life. There is teaching about submission in chapter 2. In chapter 3, it talks about the husband and wife and the family. Just a whole host of very practical areas, practical teaching on how we as God's children should relate. And finally, he gets here to verse 8 of chapter 3, and he says, "Be ye all of one mind." It includes all of us. It is not optional. It should be one of the identifying characteristics of our brotherhood. Whether we are at church, whether we are at home, whether we are on the job site, we are known to be courteous people. It should be noted in our communities, required in our Christian day schools, and it needs to be instilled in our children from a very young age. We are God's people, and we need to be respectful and courteous to those we interact with. So I would like to look now at some very practical areas where we need to be committed to showing respect and courtesy. Areas that our children need to be taught in. I'd like to look at what the Bible teaches in specific situations and areas where we are tested. We are tested in. And the first one, the first point I have in this, number one, is children must be respectful and courteous to parents. Children must be respectful and courteous to parents. This is one of the key areas where we need to show courtesy. I come across this, what Billy Graham had to say. Billy Graham made this statement: if children don't respect their parents, they will never truly learn to respect anyone. I pondered that, and I believe there's a lot of truth to it. If children don't respect their parents, they will never truly learn to respect anyone. And this begins at a very young age. As toddlers, our children must learn to obey day in, day out, being consistent in requiring respect and obedience is a must. And if that is the case, they very likely will not have to have a policeman coming out at third grade for this disorder that they somehow have. If it's done at a young age. And as I already mentioned, this is before they even understand what it's all about. Sometimes we hear the thing that, you know, we earn respect, and that's true. I think that's overdone, overplayed a little bit sometimes. But it is something that we can teach our children. It is something that is a choice, actually, as well. But what I'm getting at here is that we teach our children those things before they ever really understand what it's all about. Fathers, it is your responsibility to require of your children courtesy and respect to their mother. I believe that is one of the first places that it starts. I'm sure there are some other areas as well. But I believe we do well to think about that, fathers, and you probably are there. But we do well to demand, and I use that word demand, require of your children courtesy and respect to their mother. That is so important. Ephesians 6, more could be said about that. We'll let that. Could go into some other thoughts about that. But Ephesians chapter 6, we have the familiar verses in verses 1 through 3. Again, where do we get some of these concepts? What does the scripture have to say? Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Very basic, very straightforward. Verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Why? That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. It has a direct connection to how well we do in life. Obedience. Scripture calls for obedience. It calls for honor and respect. We'll let that one for now. Number two. Another area. Respect those in authority. Respect those in authority. I believe this could well be an area where more is caught than taught with our children. I believe it could well be. But I believe we need to be reminded at times of our call to respect and obey those in authority, whether it is civil authority, home authority, church authority, work authority, so many different things, whatever whatever it might be. Turn to 1 Peter again. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'd like to read verses 13 to 18. 1 Peter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Stop reading there. Practical teaching here of submitting to different authorities in our life. It's very interesting to me. Verse 13, it says, to submit yourselves to every ordinance. In the society that we find ourselves in today, we would probably admit that sometimes that's kind of hard to do. It's kind of difficult at times. There are a lot of ordinances and laws in place that maybe we find it, even as older ones, difficult to obey, at least not without making some derogatory comments about them and making a fuss about it. But how easy is it for us to go against the requirements of the law when we feel that, you know what, they're just kind of dumb? How easy is it for us to do that? I've had to look at my own life in this. I'm alarmed sometimes in how careless we are in following the laws that have been placed over us. sometimes they are frustrating. Maybe they don't make sense. Maybe they are hard to follow. But my question is, what are we as parents teaching our children and how we respond to those things? Don't kid yourself. Our children catch on at a very young age. What are we teaching them by our example? What are we requiring of them? Teaching is clear that we honor and obey the laws that are in place. You know, we like to be practical. We like to get work done. And so we look at the law and we perceive it to be rather impractical. And we look at what we could get done if we didn't have to do it that way. And we're pretty sure that it's really just as safe, or maybe even safer, to do it another way. But are we willing to take a little more time, a little more effort, in order to follow the ordinances that are out there? Are we respectful and courteous to the officers of the law when we encounter them? The last number of years, when I have encountered a police officer, whether I get stopped for something or simply am near one that I can talk to, I've tried to very specifically thank them for doing the job that they're doing. I think that's a good idea. Last weekend, when we spent some time in D.C., I walked past an officer on the street corner. Seemed like there was a fair amount of them around. And I thanked him for what he was doing. Well, it took him rather by surprise. It seemed like he was rather startled that I did that, and he mumbled something. I think he thanked me for it. But I think we need to remember. I think we need to remind ourselves that we are people of God, and as we are known in the communities we live in, we need to be courteous and respectful and follow the rules of the land as best as we can. We have an opportunity in these things to let a tremendous witness for Christ as we live in this very disrespectful age. Let's not allow disrespect to rub off on us. Yesterday, we had some visitors who were still in the area from PSLI at our place for breakfast, and I was telling him of some of the things we did in D.C., and he told me of a Mennonite youth group that he knew very well. And he told me how they went to the Arlington Cemetery some time ago to watch the changing of the guards. And a number of the boys decided that they were going to try to distract and mess up the guards' method of walking and see if they could get them out of sync. And they proceeded to do just that. They tried pretty hard to do that. This Mennonite youth group that was standing there. Well, I don't think they got it accomplished. But as they were leaving, an onlooker who was quite upset came and said, "You fellows don't go to war, do you?" And they said, no, we don't. This man said, "Well, I didn't think so by how you were acting." That's sad. That is really sad. What a poor testimony. We need to be respectful. We need to be respectful where we can. Verse 18 talks about being subject to your masters. And then it brings out not just to the good ones, not just to the masters who treat you how you want to be treated, but also to the ones who are not so good, also to the froward. These are practical things we face. And then there's also church authority. Hebrews 13, verse 17. "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." If you look at that verse and study it carefully, it's talking about church leaders here. This is something that weighs on church leaders, that someday we will have to stand up and give an account for the way that we led. The chief shepherd will call for account to be given. that needs to guide and direct the way that, church leaders lead. In that, we have this scriptural command to obey them that lead and submit yourselves. Seek to have an open relationship and communication. Again, these are places where we are tested. Satan is out to make these things difficult and cause havoc in God's plan, God's order that he has set up. We live in a culture that is so much against these scriptural teachings and commands, and it's good for us to stop and look into God's word and see what it says. The third area, number three, that we need to lift up and remind ourselves, be respectful and courteous, and that is be respectful and courteous towards the elderly. Towards the elderly. 2 Kings 2 tells us the story about the children who came up and made fun of Elisha and said, "Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head." And we know what happened. Bears came out, tore them up. A very graphic illustration of how important this is to God. Children being respectful to elders. Again, 1 Peter 5, going back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5, verse 5, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." Sometimes youth get a little restless. You know, it just seems like the older ones have the brakes on. The younger ones have energy and want to see some change and get things done. Well, that's pretty normal, probably. The reminder is needed at times that the younger are to submit to the elder. And then just some practical things about, again, teaching our children. Take time for the elderly. The elderly in the church. The elderly in the community. In our situation here, the elderly in Lilac Plaza. I think that is an excellent opportunity to take our families and teach them to be respectful and courteous to the elderly there. A lot of you do that. And it has blessed me tremendously to observe that, to go and sit down with the older people and visit with them. It just seems like they love that. I think you recognize that. And it's just, again, it's just a wonderful opportunity that we as parents have to teach our children in these things. I know we are busy people. So often we are rushing from one thing to the next. But can we just slow down and take time for the elderly around us? You may have seen it, but some time ago on a CAM flyer, an older man was pictured on the front, and there were three words with that picture. Anyone remember seeing it? The three words were abandoned, lonely, forgotten. Was on that picture with this elderly man, and it talked about how there are so many people, and I believe that article is specifically talking about Liberia, West Africa, so many elderly people who have no one to take care of them. Well, some of those reasons is because the resources are not there, but we have the resources here, and we have plenty of them. Time is probably the resource that we find that we run out of the quickest. But I hope that abandoned, lonely, forgotten is never the testimony of elderly people in our community and church. I hope we have time and we take time to stop in. There's so much that we can learn from the elderly. There's so much they can teach us and so much perspective that they have that is valuable, not just for our children, but us middle-aged ones as well. The older people in our churches, the perspectives of church life and the stories that they can tell We need to take time for them. We need to be courteous and respectful. Let's teach our children the importance of being respectful to the elderly. Number four, another area of teaching our children, courtesy towards women. Talked a little bit about this from the angle of our mothers, children's mothers, our wives. Courtesy towards women. The old saying is, the old saying, ladies before gentlemen, did not expire. Sometimes maybe we'd like to think so, but it didn't. That's a very good saying, ladies before gentlemen. 1 Timothy 5, Paul gives some instruction to Timothy. Let's just turn to that. I'm running out of time here. I'm not sure if I'll read all of this, but 1 Timothy 5, Paul gives some instruction to Timothy on how to relate to the sisters in his churches. Just a couple of verses, maybe the first, what do we read? Let's just read the first three verses. 1 Timothy 5, verse 1, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. I think it is important for us to remember that women are a special part of God's creation. You go back there to Genesis. God looked down at his creation and said that it was good. He looked down at man and said that it was very good. But then he said, you know what? It's not good that man is alone. His creation was not complete until he created the woman, until he created a helpmeet for man, for Adam. Verse 2, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters. And then he tacks on here, with all purity. And I thought about that for a bit. But that part there, with all purity, is so important. This is so important to remember because we live in a culture that is caught up in the rampant pornographic industry and the shame and the disgrace that it is towards women in our society and the sisters in our churches, the complete disgrace that it is on our culture. Is a sad thing. But the purity and the beauty that is there when women are treated respectfully and treated in purity, what a wonderful thing. There are so many practical ways that we can show that. As we help our wives, as we let the ladies go first, we hold the door for them. Dads, as you carry the car seat, as you take care of the child, maybe during church sometimes. As you, yes, change the diaper sometimes. Think about those things. They're all ways that we can respect the women that God has brought to be a helpmeet, the woman that God has brought to be a helpmeet for us, a very special part of God's creation. And are we treating that with respect and courtesy? I need to grow in that area. Make sure you are thankful for what they do. There is so much they do for us. There are so many ways they bless our homes. We do well to look for ways to be courteous and to bless them. And fathers, this is your responsibility that you have to teach your children to be courteous and respectful to their mother. Already talked a little bit about that. And I would say you are doing that the most by how you are treating your wife. That is how you are teaching them the most. Let's be careful with the culture that is around us. I just think of the jokes and the derogatory statements that are so often made about women. It is not respectful. Let's not be caught up in that. Another thing, moving on. Another area we need to be committed to being courteous in, number five, is courteous in speech. Courteous in speech. Ephesians 4, verse 29. You don't need to turn to that. I have it jotted down here. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Well, this certainly cuts against negative talk and disparaging comments about others. It eliminates all mockery. Let no communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Don't let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace. There is no room for any mocking speech in there. There is no room for negative talk towards others. What happens when you're on your way home from church and you start to hear that story that is making light of or putting down another child in the church? What happens in school when there is a student who can seldom hit the softball or hardly ever make it to first base? Maybe they cannot lead singing. Maybe they are clumsy. Are your children taught to be courteous anyway? Are they taught to be respectful? I hope so. And I know that that is our desire, but it's just good for us to think about these things and be reminded of the importance. Again, this does not come natural. Our children need to be taught. They will not learn these things simply by hoping somehow that they will. They need to be taught. The sixth area I have, I believe this is the last one, is, I just simply put it, courteous in the unique situations of life. Courteous in the unique situations of life. What do I mean by that? I thought about the people with handicaps. You see them when you're shopping. I thought about the different backgrounds and the races and how we work through that. These are areas where we have the opportunity to teach our children and remind them that we, again, what did I say at the beginning? We're all created in the image of God. We're made in His image. People in these unique situations were created that the way that they were for a purpose. God had a purpose. Bringing this all to a conclusion, or kind of here at the end, I'd like to look quickly yet at some examples in Scripture where courtesy was shown and the blessing that it was to all involved. When that courtesy was shown, the blessing that came forth from that. Exodus 2. And I probably won't read as much as what I was going to here for sake of time. But in Exodus 2, we have a story about Moses and some of the courtesy that he showed and the blessing that it turned out to be in his experience and those that he interacted with. In verses, well, we have what took place, Exodus 2, verse 15. When Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. Moses had slain the Egyptian. That certainly was not a courteous and respectful time in his life. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by the well. And here's the account that I wanted. He came to this well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to rule their father, he said, "How is it that ye are come so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us, and watered the flock." And he said to his daughters, "And where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him, that he may eat bread." And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. So you look at this story, and it appears that this story, if you take Moses out of the picture, it was a pretty typical happening. There was a variety of people with flocks, and for whatever reason, they would wait until these sisters came and had drawn up water, and then these men would force these sisters and their flocks away and let their flocks drink first. Well, Moses observed this. We know a bit about Moses, what he had done to the Egyptian. He could sense a violation when he saw it. He stepped into this situation, and he kept the men back. and he watered the flocks for these ladies. Well, it made a difference in how quickly these ladies got back to their father, and he asked them how they got back so early. Well, they told the story about Moses, and we see where what the results were for Moses. Moses stayed and eventually married one of these young ladies. Well, being courteous here in this situation worked out quite well for Moses, and we know in situations just prior to this that when this was not followed, it did not work out well for him. But let's look for ways to be courteous. Maybe it's to our sisters. Maybe it's to our mother. Whoever, to anyone, all those around us, let's be courteous. Another story in Acts 16. You turn there. Acts 16. Here's a story of someone who practiced courtesy, a beautiful story of courtesy being shown. We have the account here of Paul and Silas in prison. They sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Verse 25, we know what happened. There was an earthquake. Foundations of the prison were shaken. We know the story well. Paul and Silas here were thrown into this prison, and they were not in comfortable situation at all. But we see what happened. Verse 29, Paul called for a light. No, the prison keeper called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night. Notice what he did. He washed their stripes, and he was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when they had brought them into his house, he sat meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. A tremendous example here of a man and his family who reached out and were courteous, and they were blessed. They received tremendous spiritual blessing. One more story yet in Acts 28. Acts 28, we have the story here of the people on the island of Melita. This is when Paul was shipwrecked on this island. Verse 1, and when they were escaped, again, talking of Paul here on the shipwreck and the people that were with him, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. It says here, we have this word courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. And so you have these island people, and you have a group of shipwrecked people. And these island people looked for ways, seems like, to just courteously bless them. They took them in their houses for, what does it say, 3 days. They started fires. They warmed them up. They gave them lodging. And through the whole story, as it unfolds, this sick man was healed. Others came and were healed. Look what happened. Because of their respectful and courteous attitude, they were blessed abundantly. And they could have missed that if they had not been respectful and courteous. Not only is Christian courtesy the right thing to do, and not only does the Bible call for us to be courteous, There are many, many blessings that we find along the way as we reach out. As we reach out and are courteous and respectful. And so Scripture calls us to be courteous and respectful. Polite behavior that shows, how do we say that? Polite behavior that shows respect to others. Let's remember again, we are created in the image of God. Let's continually and consistently train our children to be a respectful and courteous people, that as they grow up and are impacted by that, they can again pass that on, and it can be a furtherance for the kingdom of God. God bless you as you do that. Let's kneel together in prayer.